half hour, everyone. I'm Andrew Jubin alongside Stephen Sadak, Christopher Cabin, and Eric Sisko. Well, alongside, as in we're all on the show. This is a remotely recorded show. We are not
so
only
we
in the
apologize
studio, because this is how you can
yes,
recap
exactly.
TV.
This is the only way we can recap TV with our busy schedules. And you know, sometimes the sound is not going to be perfect on these, and it's kind of just a product of how we're making this sausage, and we apologize, but
price of doing business,
yeah,
man.
But it's an additional thing, you know. We're not taking anything away to give you the Mandalorian. We're just adding it on because we want to talk about it.
So enjoy it, you little brunts.
Brunts? What is it? A Star Wars slur?
Yeah, it was a Star Wars.
I was trying to figure out a Star Wars slur, and I couldn't get to another one, and that just came in.
Fucking achuta to you, Chris Cabin.
I apologize.
You can go achuta yourself.
Only. You get the brunts. You get brunts coming out of Chris Cabin's mouth.
So this is Chapter 2, The Child, and in like the first shot or the first
by
scene
the way,
of this
50-year-old
episode,
child. What is he? My uncle?
Or what is he, me in 12 years?
Yeah.
Or no, that'd be 14, but still.
Yeah, Eric, I can move the Mudhorn with my hands. Just give me another beer.
Please, why did you name your dick Mudhorn?
And that was the worst Thanksgiving. So what this, they kind of hint at it in like the last shot of the first episode. But in this first scene, they fucking hardcore confirm they're just doing Lone Wolf and Cub in space, and I fucking leapt out of my seat. I was so excited. I'm a big fan of that film series. I haven't read the comics, but I love the movies. And that's what
really?
They're doing. It's Lone Wolf and Cub,
I have
but
never
in Star
seen
Wars.
The Lone Wolf and Cubs.
Oh, what? Dude, the Criterion put them out on Blu-ray like last year or something. They're fucking
those
awesome.
Those are
the
samurais.
Yeah, it's just this dude who's like this dejected warrior, you know, out on his own. He's literally a lone wolf, you know. And he meets up, he gets, falls in contact or meets this baby in a basket, you know, and he's got a
bastard in a basket.
Oh, you know, you're just, you go to like the VFW hall and no one wants you around anymore. You find a baby, start hanging out with a baby.
Yeah. But it's similar in that like this baby in that film series in the comic books is like watching and sometimes even participating in like heinous violence, and like that's kind of what we have here is like this hilarious little baby Yoda like creature is you know, just watching this Mandalorian just shoot the shit out of people.
Andrew, I forget, in Lone Wolf and Cub, is the cub 50 years old?
He's actually 65.
Okay, that's yeah, yeah, that's okay.
Yeah,
you know. I don't know. It's a little too cute by half. That's maybe.
God, you are so fucking cruel, Steve Sadak.
Cruel.
You just don't know how to love.
I mean, look, it did warm me over. I mean, also, like, I was a little annoyed because I watched these just today. This is Sunday, the 17th, and like, of course, the internet was like all over this. The second episode happened, it was like, hey, baby Yoda, baby Yoda, baby Yoda. Oh my God, it's baby Yoda. It's like, all right, yeah, I know.
Yeah, the internet, I think, needs to fucking dial it back, man. Like, these things are dropping on Fridays. Like, you got to have, a weekend to just chill out with talking about it on the internet.
You're trying to ask too much from these maniacs.
No, I know.
It is cute, and it did warm my heart towards the end there. And maybe, you know, we'll see. Well, you'll watch me in real time coming to terms with this baby Yoda. But right now, I'm just on the fence.
Right, like by episode 8, Steve's like got a fucking Baby Yoda tattoo.
entirely possible.
What warmed my heart in this episode is we get to see those Bosks, those Trandoshans, who were actually listening in at the bar in the first episode. They're here to fucking try to kill this Baby Yoda, and they've got vibro axes, which is another thing from the EU that we've never really, really seen used before. It's like sharpened blades with fucking vibrating laser edge to them.
Dude, these were fucking badass weapons, man.
That was cool. And we haven't talked even at all about fucking the Mandalorian's big tuning fork thing that he's got.
Oh,
which
yeah,
I
mentioned
love.
That was definitely in the last episode. I mentioned that was from the holiday special. Boba Fett was riding that dinosaur using one of those type of things.
Maybe you didn't say tuning fork. That's what I see it as.
No, he definitely
amazing.
Didn't say tuning fork, but I agree with you, Steve. It does look like a tuning fork. It's an awesome fucking weapon, though. Yeah, so he just like kills all these dudes.
Not
as
just
they
kills
ambush
them,
him.
Dude. They get the one dude gets disintegrated. We finally get to see the no disintegrations. We get to see the disintegrations.
Oh, it was pretty fucking sweet, I have to say. And then, like, in any situation, man, when you fucking leave your car in a bad neighborhood, this dude comes back to his ship, and these Jawas have fucking just ripped this thing for parts.
I do love the beginning of the Jawas. I think it's amazing that they're just doing it. And then he just starts... You want to talk about disintegration, Zerk? He is blowing these fucking Jawas to high heaven!
Dude, I was laughing. I was laughing pretty
this
hard.
This happens right after, by the way. He does, like... I think at the start of this episode, he does, like, a little bit of Dr. Giggles type of self-healing. Starts stapling his fucking arms together. And the Baby Yoda's trying to help him, but he doesn't really put it together.
The thing with the Baby Yoda in that scene that kind of... I know it's in the other Yoda and everything, but it's really unsettling to see a Baby Yoda's teeth.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And the lighting, Favreau's a genius on the lighting, so I saw him like, oh no, oh no, stop.
Do you think it's too late? Can we get this thing Sonic the Hedgehog, get the teeth taken care of, or what?
Well,
complaining now.
It's released, though, which is the problem.
Bummer. Yeah, Sonic already stole those teeth from Joe Biden. Don't ask him to take them back. I mean, that's just too much.
We should say also, speaking of Favreau, this is another episode written by him, directed by that dude, Rick Fumiyiwa, who he directed, like, The Wood, if I'm remembering correctly.
Dope,
Chris
2015.
Cabin.
Dope.
Oh, yes, of course. Oh, and Brown Sugar.
He was supposed to direct The Flash.
Oh, before that thing just collapsed in on itself, huh?
Yeah, it's still in a state of collapsing and uncollapsing. And by the way, I'm looking at you, Black Adam movie. I'll believe it when I fucking see it.
Is that the one that Dwayne Johnson was supposed to be in?
I mean, they have a release date in 2021, but I mean, that's something they've been talking about for almost a decade, so I'll wait and believe that 2021 is going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath here. So yeah, he just fucking goes at these Jawas, and it's awesome actually because he's like from a high vantage point, so the Jawas don't know like who's shooting at them at first.
It's pretty great. It's much fun. And also the sand crawler,
the crawling,
which is amazing.
Fortress, which we call it later in the episode, and him just like crawling up it and like grabbing Jawas out of the windows and throwing them out.
This I love this whole sequence because it takes so long. He's crawling up. Yeah, he's throwing him out of this thing. You do see one Jawa just fucking go right down. It's so awesome.
The Jawas adapt because then they do a fucking like Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade thing of like, ganz gegen die Mauer, and like try to scrape the Mandalorian off by going against this cliff wall. It's fucking awesome.
Yes, which was pretty badass.
And again, like the only thing we've really seen in Jawas it's just been A New Hope, right? I mean, like they don't come back. I mean, they've been beloved by the EU, but I mean, like, this is our first reintroduction. Like, there's been Jawas and backgrounds and stuff, but this is a Jawa action sequence. That's a full
Jawa action.
They always show up in market.
Yes, they
do. Whenever you're seeing a market, there's definitely a Jawa.
Let me ask you something there, Watto. Well, you got any Jawa action scenes, if you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, I ran this away.
Come behind this beaded curtain for my pornography.
Yeah, if anyone in the galaxy is selling pornography,
we need a porn donor about these future Mandalorian episodes.
Absolutely.
That should be what fucking what's his name? Elon Sleazebagino or whatever.
Oh,
Elon
nice.
Sleazebagino, his deal.
Or maybe that's Carl Weathers' side hustle, because we don't know much about him yet.
Well, yeah, he manages the union of bounty hunters, and he also dabbles in pornography. So
you know, Mandalorian, it gets pretty cold out there in space. You get on these long missions. If you want any fucking discs with some Wookiee discs, I got them.
Oh, nice. Wookiee discs, yikes.
Wookiee pornography, now that shit has to be wet.
It's like 10 seconds long and intense.
And it smells, you can smell it through the screen. What I was saying about the sandcrawler thing, that whole sequence, it's fucking great because they're making such a big deal about it, right? And then he gets to the top and they just shoot him off and he falls. And like the fucking futility of it, like it plays as such a great joke, but it's like, it was such a nice turn. And
yes,
then it's
I
like
agree
he's
with
just
that.
Abandoned in the fucking desert.
I loved it. And I'm... This is what, and then does he go back to Nulty?
Yeah,
because
he says like his ship
first?
Has been destroyed, and Nulty's all like, "Stripped, not destroyed. You just have to barter with
that." And Jawas aren't gonna destroy nothing. They're gonna sell every last fucking part of that thing.
This is kind of my favorite place because Mandalorian's like, "Trade with the Jawas? Are you crazy? Those little things will never give me a fair price."
Yeah.
This is another thing of my boomer thing. I think he's a boomer. Because he doesn't trust others that are going to give him something. He's like, no, they're going to try to get.
Oh, yeah. First it's the parts, and then I got to buy their streaming services.
First it's one egg, then it's five hairy eggs, and then it's seven hairy eggs.
Where does it end, dude? Yeah, I the problem is, so he goes back to the Jawas, which is a lot of fun. They start bartering a little bit. You do see some... That, I think it's still the same red droid from A New Hope in the back. They're still trying to pawn just, that guy off.
Just can't sell it, huh?
He's like the dusty can of fucking peaches in the bodega.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I didn't see that little guy. That makes me sad, though.
He's kind of
found
back.
A forever home.
The story starts moving in. Now, Andrew, this might be your lone wolf and cub thing, but I was viewing this as sort of like a knight's story, because now he gets the side quest. He's got to like placate the commoners by vanquishing the dragon and getting the egg.
Well, that's another thing that I love about those movies, is because it is like, the dude is just like pushing this baby cart, you know, through the fucking fields in Japan. And he, you know, a lot of the starts of these movies is he like comes upon someone like out of nowhere, and, you know, he's going to either assist them or fight them or whatever. So like, yeah, his overall thing now in The Mandalorian is he's, you know, got to protect this baby Yoda, and, you know, whether or not he's going to bring him back to Herzog, or, you know, we don't know yet. But then in the meantime, yeah, he gets sidled with this thing where like he needs something from these people. And it's like, all right, man, use your fucking great abilities to help us out for a little bit. And that's what the next 32 minutes is. And I love that it's so fucking short. I love it.
I will say the Jawas in the second scene, when they go back and they kind of, you know, Nulty's bartering with them, and like, you know, obviously they want his armor first, then they want a ship and all this stuff, and he can't give up any of it. And they're like, oh, do the egg. They turn very Minion-esque here, and I wasn't crazy really? About it. They were a little too close to Minions. They're all like saying egg at the same time, and they're laughing. Very Minion-y, and I wasn't into it.
Or maybe Minions are... They took it from the Jawas, or I guess Jawas in A New Hope read more on Tamani there, with the Utini.
Yes,
like only
yeah.
one said Utini, I think.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying, Steve. You don't appreciate like the hive mind that they sort of have here.
The unison was like a little cheese ball to me, but I mean, it was super fun to see the Jawas.
I was gonna say. I mean, they're also Jawas, so you know.
I also like seeing him being bad at Jawaese.
Oh, yeah. Oh yes, that's great.
Oh,
that's
they like, fucking they laugh their balls off when he tries to like
talk
enunciate
like a fucking
something.
Wookiee, man.
Oh right, man, what a fucking slam, dude, because everybody knows what Wookiee sound like.
Oh, you sound like a Wookiee.
Yeah.
Oh my
when
god.
When we go back to the Jawa camp, Nulty does say like he should take off his weapons or whatever, and this is where we get the line that weapons are part of the Mandalorian religion, apparently.
Yeah, and a bunch of fucking people in America just went,
guess I'm a Mandalorian.
Hey, Ma, I'm a Mandalorian.
But I'm allowed to be in this Chick-fil-A with my AR-15. It's part of my religion. I'm a Mandalorian.
But Nulty also mentioned something like, oh, they seem pretty mad at you. And he does say, well, I did disintegrate a few of them. So I'm just, I don't know. It's like scratching my back. It's like hearing
exactly.
someone say disintegrations in Star Wars and actually get to see it. It's scratching my back.
It's
it
pretty
feels
baller,
nice.
Man.
I kind of want a six-episode miniseries about the one Jawa that lost his brother and like is coming to terms with it.
I would
it.
Love that. I would actually watch that.
Dude, Star Wars prestige drama? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Fuck it. I'll definitely do that.
Star Wars classics.
Yeah.
And it would be beautiful because, like, yeah, you'd think all Jawas are the same. They are not the same. They have rich internal lives.
Absolutely, man.
You go really out there and you get, like, Isabel Huppert to... voice the female Jawa.
Okay, all of this, but it's about Minions instead.
Okay.
So he goes off on this quest. They're like, hey, man, if you can find this fucking magic egg that we love so much, we'll give you all your shit back, no questions asked. So he goes out on this quest to locate the egg.
Before he finds the monster whose egg he's there to reclaim, we notice that on his Mandalorian helmet, there's a flashlight setting, and he's in this cave, and he's got the flashlight going. It kind of also reminded me of the Predator a little bit, because you always had those little add-ons.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I could buy that.
The other thing we're missing is when he comes upon the cave opening, It looks like an open asshole.
Yeah, it does. Oh, it definitely does.
It's got the little creases even going in.
Yeah, you're going right into that fucking Star Wars brown eye, dude. Absolutely.
And it's all muddy.
It could, and also, if this is Star Wars, it could be an asshole.
That was Jon Favreau's cameo, I think.
Oh, wait, no. That's Ego's planet, and that's Kurt Russell's asshole.
Oh, nice. Mailed this to 3 minutes ago, but we were talking about the flashlight setting. This goes to Chris's boomer theory. He's using that in restaurants.
Looking at the menu.
Oh, God.
So goddamn dark in here, I can't see anything.
Dude, that happened to me the other night at dinner, and like this dude was like, it's so dark in here, and he turned on the huge flashlight on his phone. Let me tell you, this was a well-lit restaurant. There was not a fucking lighting problem to be found.
Fluorescent McDonald's.
Well, you got a chicken fajita wrap, do you?
Well, I don't like wrap. You got any country or Western?
Don't give me your chicken fajita hip-hop.
Exactly.
So he goes into this thing, and yeah, of course, this big, like, bull motherfucker comes out.
When he stumbles on it, though, speaking of the flashlight, though, they do a really good job of, like, the flashlights, like, turning around this cave, and it lands, like, boom, there's an eyeball. And I was like, fuck yeah, that's an awesome reveal. And then it just cuts to the Mandalorian getting fucking Jazzy Jeffed out of that cave. Which is so awesome.
And then his like gun jams, and he's being tossed by this beast again. I do appreciate in every episode we get to see that armor get fucked up more and more.
Yes. He's getting his ass kicked in this episode, and I like that, though, because it's like he's not a superhero. He's just this dude doing a job, and this monster is fucking
And another
him
difference
right
from
now.
The last episode, which was very like Western sand and desert, this is like mud and rain and... Just seeing this cape he's got on, just totally muddied, and him in his armor, it was like, I kept on thinking about, you know, slaying a dragon, except the knight is the one shooting the fire.
I can, I have to really suggest that everybody watch this with closed captioning on, because if you were ever wondering if these thing, the different characters and everything have names, they let you know. This thing is actually called a mudhorn.
Oh,
it's
weird.
A muddy horned beast, and they're like, "Yeah, mudhorn. That's
yeah,
what it
do.
Is."
Yeah, Jawa High School, home of the Mudhorns fan.
Let's go Mudhorns!
Ah, shit, we have the Mudhorns this week.
This year, we win the All Galaxy.
Yes, the All Galaxy.
Oh yeah, and then there's the. There's the sand people up the right way. Like, oh, we need to change that name. You can't be the sand people.
Yeah, not going to happen. Not going to fly.
Be the Tusken Raiders, maybe. But also, you're better off just making it something else.
Yeah.
So he's, like, getting his ass kicked by this thing like a fucking matador, which is awesome. I always love seeing those dudes get fucking trampled.
I do agree with Eric, though. I do love the viscerality of it, of the mud and the armor and all that stuff. It wouldn't be as fun. It's not just him, a dude, a very clean dude, like that Attack of the Clones scene where they're fighting all those monsters. It's very clean and very, like, you know, obviously Natalie Portman's getting progressively undressed, which is, you know, fine. But, like, it's just, it's less that and, like, more like he's getting hurt. He's getting muddy. He's getting fucking disgusting.
Even Jango Fett in that sequence, I just rewatched Attack of the Clones because I'm dumbly doing this stupid rewatch. And he's rolling around in the sand and stuff in that Colosseum sequence, and you could never tell because he's not actually touching any surface. That armor is like fake, you know. Like this it's such an improvement. This show is such an improvement.
Oh yeah, and I feel like that's one of the reasons I'm so drawn into it. Is like it doesn't feel like Computer Town at all.
Yes,
like it feels like from the Salacious Crumb puppet in the last episode. You know, to just, yeah, like you've been saying, all this stuff with the mud, and it's just like, it's gross and it's real, you know, and like, yeah, sure, there are CGI backgrounds and all that stuff. You can't not do that, but like, so much of this feels way more grounded than other Star Wars things, and I think it's really helping me get like super into it.
My only real problem with the Mudhorn fight is that I think it's like towards the middle. They do like a slow motion shot for no reason.
What the hell is that? By
that
the way?
Was that really was... weird.
Uh-huh. Yeah, totally. It kind of takes you out of it because it's like, we're not doing that on this show. Like, I know it's only the second episode and you're still kind of like changing stuff around, but like, such a obvious like stylistic change.
I feel like I didn't mind it. Now, what did you guys think? I think it was in the last episode where there's the flashbacks to his youth as a foundling, which, guys, we could just say orphan. We can just say orphan.
I was into that. It's kind of cool. I'm kind of curious where they're going to go with that or if they're going to go anywhere with it. I'd be kind of fine not, you know what I mean? But I was
that lady Mandalorian
okay
also
cool.
asked him if his signet had been revealed, and we're just like, shrug, what is that? Maybe that'll come into play in future episodes.
Yeah, I was like, what signet?
I think it's a logo you get when you get to a certain level.
He's got to get the XP points. This is like when I play Ultima exactly. Online, and I'd be like, well, I need to go get my wrestling XP points up by punching bears in the woods for hours. And I just do that for hours to get XP points.
This is full-on Scientology, though. He keeps giving them money. And like, this is going to help all these other foundlings. Don't worry about it. You're seeing that it's not revealed yet. Yeah, just another like 70,000 credits. You're going to get there, buddy. Enlightenment is just 70,000 credits away.
Well, like he gives her like that bar, and I was like, oh, cool. Like that, the bar there that he gets from Herzog. I was like, wow, that should save the orphanage. And then she just melts it down in front of him. I was like, take that donation.
Oh, guess what? Grief Karga wants to see you privately, and he wants to hear about what money you want to give to the guild.
Totally, dude. Your guild dues are coming up.
Oh, my God. And in this fight with the Mudhorn, towards the very end of it, he's just like tossed a few times, and he just picks up a knife.
Yes.
It reminds me of Tom Hanks shooting the gun at the tank in Saving Private Ryan. Just like the futility of the scenario.
Totally.
This is when Baby Yoda gets in and kind of, you know, from the top rope, it kind of stops the beast.
It uses the force to like lift it up off the ground for a little bit.
So we don't know anything about Yodas, right? So are they all force gifted?
Implication's trying to say. I don't know.
Well, you definitely can't get them wet. Don't feed them after midnight. I forget what the other ones are, but those are the big ones. I kind of would love the fact if you know all the flashbacks that are happening in the armory, like at the end of this whole season, we found out that the baby Yoda was the one who killed his village.
Oh, nice. Oh,
fuck, that would be awesome.
Just decimated it.
Then he's at a real crossroads, man. It's like, do I kill this fucking baby that I've been helping out or what?
Who killed my parents?
That baby
parents. Like it's Yoda at 30, the Yoda baby at like 30 instead of 50, and he's just like learning his powers like when Christ learned his powers and just started blowing up birds and shit.
That sounds right.
Just popping them right out of the sky. So he kind of does this, and you know, it falls back on the ground, and it's enough time for the Mandalorian to fucking stab this thing in the throat, which was pretty great. And then he does, if I'm remembering it right, doesn't he like, he takes a second, like looks back at the baby Yoda, and then he goes back to this the Mudhorn and like really jams that thing in there and
double
taps, moves it. Yeah,
you gotta make sure it's dead.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking great. And so the baby Yoda's like all worn out. Like he definitely like used all of his energy to save this dude. So it's kind of interesting. It's like, yeah, I guess this thing is 50. It looks like a baby, but like it's obviously sentient enough or aware of its surroundings enough to know that like this person that saved him was in trouble, kind of a thing.
And it's 50 years old, so if it does anything, it's going to take at least a day to recover.
Yeah, you got to get him some coffee, get him something to eat. his fucking blood sugar's down. Come on.
So the Mandalorian goes back to Nick Nolte, I believe, and they help repair
the Jawas.
Oh yeah. No, well, it's another big fuck you, because he goes back to the Jawas and he's like, here's this egg you wanted like for whatever religious purposes, and they're like, great, we're starving, and just fucking break this thing open and start
this.
Eating
it was
it.
Just like such a left field thing of it. It's like a furry Cadbury egg, and they're just all eating this shit.
Yes,
it
dude,
did look
a
little
Cadbury.
Delicious.
It
looked a little delicious.
I wanted to put my little paw in there too, like Pooh Bear getting into the honey jar.
Get the biggest piece of toast you got and just dip that shit in there.
Ooh, that's what you want.
But it's so awesome because it's like they made him go on this huge dangerous mission because they were fucking high and had the munchies.
They were hotboxing that sand crawler.
Oh, dude, for sure. Get the black lights going in there.
That's the one thing I don't quite get. Is like the Jawas know a good trade. That's the one thing they're really good at. Is they're just like, we're just going to trade for the rest of our lives. That's it. So here is all this incredibly valuable classic fucking ship stuff that Jay Leno would murder a fucking nursery for, and they're like,
really,
yeah,
likes cars.
Just get me an egg, a big fucking egg for us to eat in 2 days.
Well, I mean, that to me is the minionification of the Jawas in this scene. It's just like, oh, fun, eat, da da da. You know, yeah, I kind of agree with you there. It's sort of like they would want some sort of thing of cash value.
I guess so. I see what you're saying, but I just took it as like they were like, all right, motherfucker, you evaporated a bunch of our dudes. We're gonna put your life on the line for this totally insignificant snack
that's
food
true.
Thing. It's kind of just a
it's
great
like a, it's like a fuck you, but it's also like bringing the weird. And Star Wars, when it gets weird, is when it's the best.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, this could be a thing. I mean, yeah, they kind of eat it, and that's the end of the scene, but like, it could be a thing where it's like, we needed this. We got to chow down on one of these every like 60 years or something, and then us, as Jawas, have our lives extended or something.
Or maybe they turned into Incredible Hulk Jawas right after it.
Oh my God, dude. If there was a huge Jawa, it would freak me out.
Mm-hmm.
They turn into Bergs. That's how Bergs are made.
But yeah, so they eat into this thing, and the Mandalorian's like, well, I guess I'll go fuck myself then. And he takes all his parts back, and Nick Nolte. This is a weird, the Mandalorian's like, well, I'm going to need like a team of people to fix this. And Nick Nolte's like, not unless you help me and we just do this in a night. And I was kind of like, all right, the Mandalorian said it was going to take like days at
but
the minimum.
These Ugnaughts are apparently their species. Yes. It's like a dwarf, I guess. It's like the fantasy, it's like the sci-fi version of a dwarf. He's good with metal and materials. Like they were working for Lando's Cloud City operation.
Right, so that's
mining,
like their thing is
the
they're like
guilds.
They have like a supernatural ability to like fix things and build things.
I guess
quickly
so.
Or
let's
something.
Just say that.
Yeah, because yeah, no, that
a
was the one.
Did it.
It was the one part of the episode that I got a little incredulous on. I was like, the motherfucker just said with one person it was going to take at least a week or whatever.
But then you get the awesome 80s montage of
yes.
them fixing their little ship.
Which I was totally down for.
I'm going to spray you with a hose, Mandalorian. It's going to be hilarious.
I'm taking my shirt off and hitting this glistening metal.
Look
vacation,
at my moves.
All I ever wanted. Vacation, gotta get away. And it's just
Look
playing
at my
in the background.
Moves, Mandalorian. Look at my moves. I have spoken. So then they fix the ship and everything, and it's kind of a great moment here where the Mandalorian's like, "Hey, man, I could use a guy like you on my crew." And I was like, "Oh, we're getting a team together." And Nick Nolte's just like, "Nah, I'm retired. It's fine."
Yeah, and this whole thing was like he keeps trying to give him money, but like he was like, "No, you know, I just." This is my retirement community. It was getting really loud with everybody trying to steal that baby. That baby's off my planet. I'm cool.
Yeah,
we're good.
Yeah, he says something like, thank you for bringing
yes,
peace
yes,
to my
it's
valley.
Yes, the exact line, and it's great. And that's kind of like a Western-ish type of thing. Like, he solved the
problem totally.
Of
like
the
this
town,
hero.
You know?
Yep, exactly. There was some no-goodniks in the town that were roughing people up, and now it's safe to live in this retirement valley again. Now, is he the only Ugnaught around right here? Is
apparently,
that what
I guess. It seems like he's a loner.
Huh. I wonder if he's a widower.
Oh, Amanda, I miss you so much. Amanda.
I have spoken. Prayer over.
I love I Have Spoken, man. I think I'm just going to start using that.
It's a good way to end it, man.
It's a great fucking shutdown of any
conversation.
He
also says, good luck with the child. May it survive and bring you a handsome reward, which is kind of cold, which I like. And the Yoda baby's eating a frog, which is cool.
Oh, that is, it was cool and it was kind of cute, man, because the Mandalorian's like, hey, baby, put that down. You can't play with
I
that
would
frog.
Love it. Just Mandalorian just drops that shit off at Herzog's place and is just like, that's that. Apparently, I read this in the Hollywood Reporter. This almost might veer.
Ooh, THR.
This
dude.
Might veer into spoilerish town. Apparently, Werner Herzog did act opposite a puppet. I don't know for sure if it's Yoda Baby. But when they were directing it, they were like, we're going to do one with the puppet and then one without, with just Herzog, because we don't know if we're going to do, CGI instead or whatever. And apparently Herzog would not allow it. He was like, John, you are a coward. You are cowards. How would you take the puppet? I'm doing it with the puppet.
Wow.
I do love that stupid story where it was like going around Twitter. It was like, can you believe that Werner Herzog wasn't intimidated working with Jon Favreau? I'm like, yeah, I can fucking believe it, dude. I can fucking believe it.
That guy directed La Soufriere, a documentary where he went to a volcano that was about to erupt and kill everyone and was like, yeah, why are you not leaving your village? Of course he's not intimidated by Jon Favreau.
I got butterflies in my stomach. I've seen the first Iron Man 40 times. Like, no, obviously not. He's fucking Werner Herzog. Everyone needs to relax.
I thought that his live action The Jungle Book was quite brave. Well, yeah, Favs, though, man, we fucking turned off that Lion King. No thanks.
Of course, yeah, it's a piece of shit.
It's not even like an episode, though. It's just, the internet went out and we had like 20 minutes left. And when it came back up, Chelsea and I were both like, fuck it.
Not worth it.
No, totally not. So he takes off and that's the last we see him. He checks on the baby. It's kind of a great moment here because he's like checking to see like if he's still alive, basically. He's like, did saving my life kill you there, Baby Yoda? Because he's like kind of sleeping in the basket or whatever. I don't know. I love Baby Yoda.
He's got to deliver that thing live to get the full payment, which was a contoner of Baskar. Not a container. Oh. This is a Star Wars word for container.
Camtona.
Giving you a contoner. John, is that correct? Contoner.
Is that ink for his printer?
So as we do here on the Mandalorian Hour, go around rating the episodes. Steve Sadek, start with you. What'd you think of this week's program?
I'm gonna give it a C+. And I mean, maybe people are gonna.
Whoa!
I knew it. No, I don't know. I'm still not all in on Baby Yoda just yet. I do think he's really cute in design wise. Implication wise, kind of a question mark. If this gets too forcey, I'm not going to be really happy about it. Also, kind of raises the question of like, well, then what the fuck's Baby Yoda doing in Rise of Skywalker territory, et cetera, et cetera. But and then the other thing is like, it seemed kind of it was cool. The action sequence was fun. Watching the Jawas were fun. See my previous notes about Minions. It's just C+ for me.
I do appreciate how a lot of people in this universe of The Mandalorian don't know what the Force is. And like, there's that moment where Nick Nolte's like, explain it to me again. I don't understand what happened, you know? So I think that's cool. I do kind of agree. Like if we go super, like if The Mandalorian's setting up the new Jedi Temple or whatever, we're straying from the point. But I would still give this episode an A. I loved the disintegrations of the Jawas. I loved the fight on the sand crawler and the egg battle, always good. The egg innards, pretty cool. So this is just another A for me.
This is a C. I like the one thing I really like about it is that there's very little dialogue. And that I think matches with a lot of like, I felt more 70s like neo-westerns with both these episodes. But my problem is just like Steve, like the cutesy shit is really making it hard for me to like believe all and like really go all in on the brutal stuff. And all the nuance. No, I will not have a heart. You cannot make me. I mean, like, it's cool that it's fine if they just keep him in the bassinet, but, like, it's the stuff like the eating the frog and that kind of stuff that makes me be like, well, make up your mind if this is a kid's show or a teen's show. And I don't know if it knows that yet, but who knows? Third episode's coming up. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, I don't know. If you're wrong, it's your opinion, but I don't agree with it. This is an A for me. I love that it's Lone Wolf and Cub in space. I do. It's fucking great. And, you know, if it continues with that, I'm all for it. You know, those movies feature that baby getting into some fucking hilarious situations where he is like, it is a great, I think, contrast of like, here's this cute, in the movies, it's like, here's this cute kid and this fucking insane violence that's happening right in front of him. And he's a baby and he doesn't really entirely know how to react to it. And similarly with this, it's a cute little gleep glop and, you know, he's watching the Mandalorian fucking stab this beast in the throat and whatever. Like, I don't know. It totally works for me. I don't care if it continues down this path because I'm totally liking it. So, I don't know. Again, it could venture off and the third episode could be referencing something else entirely. I don't know. But if it stays this course of, like, Western slash, you know, like, Japanese adventure saga, I'm completely down for it. So these episodes air on Fridays, the episodes of the show itself, The Mandalorian, right?
Yes,
right?
That is when they drop. And we're going to try to do our best to keep current. It's not always going to be perfect. And obviously the sound quality is not always perfect. And, you know, with holiday travel coming up, maybe not everyone will be on every episode, but we'll get letter grades, sure. If that is the case.
Absolutely. You know, we just wanted to take this opportunity to weigh in on, you know, this very hyped show and, you know, present something else to the Patreon patrons and, you know, and do so, like you said, Eric, without taking another thing away. So it's just more bonus content. We will be back next week talking about Chapter 3. But until then, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Gabin.
And we have spoken.